Hi, welcome to the Miranda Writes podcast.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Vanessa.
We have the right to remain silent.
But we probably won't. We probably won't.
I forgot that I was supposed to say we have the right to remain silent.
You're like...
I was all quiet for a minute. I was like, I think I was supposed to say something.
Okay, but we probably won't.
Yeah, we probably won't. We never shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So have fun with that.
Good luck with that.
So I just wanted to, I listened to our audio from last week, and yes. I just wanted to apologize to all our listeners.
Oh yeah.
Sorry for all the background noise. And, we are still working through some kinks and, you know, just kind of getting used to our couch cheese men and stuff like that. So, we promise you we'll get better someday.
Yeah. Just kidding. I mean, like, don't count on it. Like, but we're trying.
Yeah.
Listen, we're trying.
Listen, we're beginners.
Yeah. And like, I'm telling you guys this right now. I don't edit shit. Mujer doesn't edit anything.
Yeah, I don't even edit
my so life. We do not edit. Like, everything that we upload is like
raw,
uncut, unedited. Yeah, like, it's just how it is.
It's just us. So,
and I mean, so yeah, that's something that I don't plan on working on.
But somehow we plan on getting better, because yeah. I don't plan on working on it either.
So just kind of bear with us.
Yeah, just bear it and grin. But how was your week, Mohe?
It was good. I wanted to say hi to our new listeners. We have Jamaica, New York listening to us. We have Boston, Massachusetts. We have We have United Kingdom listening to us now. Ooh, cool. And I forgot the city. But yeah, they're listening to us too.
In Jamaica, that's pretty big.
Jamaica, New York.
Oh, Jamaica, New York.
Yeah, Jamaica, New York. Not Jamaica, the, you know.
The
island. Oh. Not the island of Jamaica. Jamaica, New York. Because I guess they have like the Bronx and they have like...
Oh, okay.
They have like... Queens. I can't talk. They have different little cities, kind of like... Well, the way Honey explained it to me was like Chandler and Gilbert, like those, you know, it's like that. But
towns.
Yeah, so like they have Little Italy and stuff over there. So over there, it's called Jamaica, New York.
Oh, skip.
Yeah, so
it's better. It's just better.
I know. And I went and upgraded our website again today. Mm-hmm. I worked really hard on it again.
Yeah, it looks really good.
It looks good. It looks better. You're able to like. Just see things and you'll probably like, oh, and I added, that's what I wanted to say. I added the podcast. So like, if you go on our website, you're able to stream our podcast on our website, off of our website.
Oh, nice. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. We have like a tab. So like at the top, if you're on your phone, it used to have like three little lines at the top right-hand corner and then you would click on that and then it would give you like a menu.
Okay.
But I don't think people realize what that was. Mm-hmm. So there's a little box there now and it says menu on it. Mm-hmm. So if you click on that, it'll give you like the other tabs.
The other options.
Yeah, the other options. So like home, you'll see like a picture of a microphone and it's just like about our podcast. And then it goes into like how we became true crime junkies or addicts, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then scroll down a little more. We talk about merch, how we're trying to get that in order so we can offer you guys merch. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into our office hours, which Monday through Friday is wine time, which means afternoon, evening.
Yes.
The evening time. And then Saturday it says coffee time. Through wine time, which means morning through the afternoon time. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, it says not a chance because can't ever do it. We're not going to be on the website on Sunday. Hell so, I mean, you can message us though and email us and stuff. Mm-hmm. Go and subscribe to our website because like we're going to have a lot of cool things coming up pretty soon. And I'm really excited.
Okay.
And then, so anyways, the tabs, it's like home and then it's our podcast. So if you click on the podcast, it shows all of our, episodes. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of the word. It shows all of our episodes, and you're able to like go back like 15 seconds, you know. Mm-hmm. So it has all that stuff there. You can fast forward, you know, if you want to. So it's all right there. And then after podcast, I believe it's about us. So okay. It's our little bios, mm-hmm. where Mujer and I put stuff about us. I do plan on putting a picture of us on there, mm-hmm. so you guys can see what we look like.
Yeah, I can see our beautiful faces.
I'm going to look like shit probably. I'm going to put mm-hmm. a picture of me looking like shit. Just I would never do that. Don't never. Ever expect me to do that.
I will not ever do that.
Ever. And then so then there's like a little bio about us, and then it's our blog. Mm-hmm. You can go on our blog, and basically Paul from Homestead Horrors was like, your blog is like the same thing as your Instagram. And I was like, it is. It is. So I'm going to change that up a little bit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Is it supposed to be? That's what I said. I was like, it's not supposed to be. But, I mean, I could see why it shouldn't be, you know.
I mean, I'm no techie person.
So. Mujer, I don't think she like. Yeah. She worked a little bit on it, but she hasn't. In a while. So. Yeah. And then, so then there's like our little bios, which is what we wrote about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's on, after that, it's the blog. So then, like, you can see the blog and what I put on there. And then after that, it's our social media. So you can go, like, on our social media, like, so there's a social media tab. So if you click on there, it's so cute. It's like a keyboard with blood on it. Mm-hmm. And then you can leave us messages on our Facebook page from mm-hmm. our website.
Okay.
And you can access our Instagram through our website. You can access our Twitter through our website. You mm-hmm. can access all that stuff.
Nice.
You can even stream. Like, there's, like, little links on there. Look, they look like little keychain links mm-hmm. or whatever. And then it'll take you to, like, iTunes and stuff, so you can stream our podcast on there. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to do the links, because our podcast, it has its own little tab, and you can go on there and listen to us.
Nice.
So, like,
nice.
If you can't, like, if you're at work and you can't, like, if your office bans, like, Pandora or iHeartRadio or Spotify mm-hmm. or whatever, you can go on our website, and then you can stream us from there.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Other than that, I have been super busy at work. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of...
Comadres, just a little busy bee over here.
I am. And then, so I've been kind of sad that quarantine is almost over.
Ugh.
I don't want it to end.
I don't either.
I'm praying it doesn't.
Me too.
I really like quarantine. Mm-hmm. I love it, actually. I think that we should be quarantined like this at least.
For the rest of the year. Just to transition.
Yes. The rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we should all have the option of working from home if we can.
Yes, I agree.
And, I mean, maybe half a week work from home, the other half go to the office. Or every other day or whatever, I think. Yes. I love it. I think my boss was like, whatever... You're not doing anything different, and everything's still getting done. So I think mm-hmm. it would be a good idea. And I'm like, right?
Nice. Yeah. For sure.
So, but we'll see. And then that's it. I've just been trying to keep busy. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I've been really fucking lazy this week.
Okay.
I've been really lazy this week, like after, like when I get home and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, I don't want to do anything because it's Jazz Fest.
Uh-huh.
So Jazz Fest lasts about 9 days.
Nice.
So I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Oh,
I'm just so lazy during Jazz Fest.
Freak Jazz Fest.
Fuck it. Fuck Jazz Fest.
So Jazz Fest is code word for period.
My period.
Period. Like Maddie says. Period.
And I hate it because I have the longest period ever.
I know. It's awful.
It is awful. And I want to die. So.
For reals. Like, I legit this month probably had like 3 weeks of PMS.
See,
no lie, I had like pre, during, and post.
Yeah,
and the post was like the worst. I don't ever get pimples, and I somehow managed to get 4 on my face.
Mm-hmm. I never get pimples.
I feel like somebody tied freaking weights to my saggy ass nipples.
Oh my god!
So my boobs are just like so tender, just awful. It's just disgusting.
I know.
I feel so bloated. Mm-hmm. And I'm exhausted.
And then to top it all off, like I was talking to my therapist and my therapist is like, she's like, how have you been? I'm like, I've been okay. And I was like really good. And then like last night, honey was talking to me and he was saying that one of my favorite comedians isn't funny. And I wanted to cry. I was like, what are you talking about? He's a little freaking hilarious.
Oh my God.
It was funny.
That's so another thing, yeah.
I wanted to cry about that. I'm like, what is wrong with you? There's nothing to cry about. There's nothing.
I know, I get that. I got emotional too. Like I told you, I was watching that Unorthodox on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
And I was just like legit ugly crying on the couch. And I was just like, it was just awful. And then I was fine after that. And I took a shower and then I was like wide awake. And I was just happy with my life at midnight. And then I popped a melatonin and I was like, ow. I was like, what is my deal? I'm just like everywhere.
A roller coaster of emotions. I freaking hate PMS. During Jazz Fest.
Yeah, Jazz Fest. AKA Jazz Fest.
AKA Jazz Fest. Ugh. So anyways. How was your week? Aside from you crying.
Yeah, I just like was up and down. I was like, I don't even know. Just thank God I'm alone. Because just like,
seriously.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because I mean, I get the same way. I'm mm-hmm. like, if I had somebody living with me, I would die.
Right.
I would die.
Yeah. I'm sure they would like die or go through hell. Because I'd be so mad if somebody else was breathing my air.
Right?
Like in my house.
Yeah, seriously. You're taking up my air. Can you go somewhere else?
Oh my God. For real.
That's funny.
But other than that, it was like pretty a good week. I think since I'm going through my Jazz Fest thing, I'm just like starting to get tired and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I've just been kind of like laying low on little projects around the house. So that's not too bad. And, but I did want to give a pointer to our listeners so I have my water dispenser. So I have like a 5-gallon jug and then I get it, refilled. Right. Mm-hmm. And, so the other day, it was on Sunday, actually, I decided to, for the love of God, don't ask me how, I decided to get my life together at 7:30 at night and go get water.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of creepy because, so I took my dogs with me, Mijitos, just for the ride. And, it was like just a little after 8 and I go to this particular water station that I fill up my jug. And then I don't know why I try to like be aware of my surroundings. So I was just kind of looking around.
Which is a good way to be. You should always be aware of your surroundings.
Right. I was just kind of looking around and I noticed that there was like a male figure kind of like in the shadows, like a distance away. Mm-hmm. And there was like a restaurant in that corner, that back corner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I should not get out because I don't know. I just got like an uneasy feeling. And I was like, you know, the stores all around there were already closed since this whole COVID thing. Like a lot of stores are only open like 8 to 8 or 7 to 8 or 7 to 7. And so anyways, before I got down, I was like, well, I'll just wait and see if he starts making his way towards me. Mm-hmm. So, of course I sat there, I was on the phone with you and I was like, hey, I see this guy, he's wearing a backpack. I don't recognize facial features or any like identifying marks, but I'm kind of a little scared. Mm-hmm. So then, anyways, needless to say, he was walking towards me. And I didn't get out of the truck just because I was worried. Like I just got an uneasy feeling and he came like close to the vehicle, not super close, not like arm's length or nothing like that. But it would be, you know, maybe
close enough.
Yeah. Close enough that it looked like he was, I don't know, maybe going to ask me for money or whatever. But the whole point being is that it's really dark kind of in that area.
It is. It's really dark.
And if So my pointer is to the public, first of all, don't go get water late at night alone. Even if you're a male, like, I just feel like you just never know. And then, so definitely don't do that alone. Yeah. And I mean, you know, and just be aware of your surroundings, because I never turned off the truck and I never got out. I just waited for him, and he did get close enough, like a little too close for comfort. And then I noticed that once I put the truck in reverse, he kind of like regressed back into the shadows. So I think he was kind of like maybe going to ask me for money, but who knows, right?
Yeah. And also, like, you just never know with people. You can never, people are so unpredictable. Exactly. You don't know. You just never know. And that's a good pointer. Do not go do things on your own in the middle of the night. Especially, like, if you're a single mom and you have little kids.
Right.
Because, like, your little kids, there's nothing that they can do to protect you. There's no way for them. I mean, even if they are smart enough to call 911, I mean, you don't want to see, you don't want your kids to see something bad happen to you. That's going to traumatize them for life.
Right, exactly. So who knows, you know, what would have transpired. But regardless, I mean, you know, I'm vulnerable. I was there by myself. So that's not good. So just please be aware of your surroundings, you know. Try to look for anything that you can describe, if anything, any identifying marks, hair color, height, anything.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
You never know.
That was a good pointer, like safety pointer.
Hey. And another pointer that I'm going to give to our listeners is do not go eat tacos and get all food wasted. And then try to podcast, because I was like, on the way back from getting food and stuff, I was like on the way home and I could not keep my eyes open at all.
Yeah, she still can't keep her eyes open.
I was like, yeah, like right now. Uh-huh. I mean, like I got my second wind and I'm a lot better, but on the way here, I was legit felt like I was gonna freaking just fold over right there in the truck. So don't do that.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear your story. I'm so excited.
Okay. So let's start.
Okay, cool.
So I didn't give this a nice fancy title, but what we're going to be talking about today is male sex trafficking. So we hear a lot of sex trafficking about girls, young girls, teens, you know, younger teen or just out of teen adults.
Young adults.
But you know, for some reason, there's not a lot of light shed on male sex trafficking.
I agree.
So as I go through the story today, I'm just gonna go down like of each of the sources that I got this information from. So the first one is, it's called the article. It's actually an article. It's called "Dead Boys, Fast Sex and Slow Suicide on the West Side Docks" by Paul Solotariff. And so
he seems like a good writer.
Yeah, he's a really good writer. I actually saw him on a documentary that I was watching on Netflix, which is really good.
And he mentioned it.
He mentioned this article in there. And the Netflix docuseries that I was watching at the time was How to Fix a Drug Scandal, which is really good.
That's a really good documentary. It is. On Netflix. You guys should watch it.
Yes, if you
should watch it. And it was located in Boston. Well, it was located in Massachusetts.
Yes, it was. So anyways, that's where I got his name off of that docuseries on Netflix. But so the term dead boys, they're basically known as throwaway teens to barely legal young men that are between the ages of 16 and 20.
Okay.
Sometimes younger.
Okay.
These young boys are homeless, you know, for the most part homeless, hungry, and in bad health. Okay.
It is sad.
These kids are typically from like roach pest infested homes. The kids off the Greyhound buses escaping predacious families. And they're usually the kids right out of foster care.
That's okay. So awful. Like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but mm-hmm. like that makes me so sad because when once kids are 18, if they're in foster care, they have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and even if, like, for instance, if their family, their foster family wanted them, they can't technically keep them there. They because mm-hmm. they could get in trouble, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But so they have nowhere to go after.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, where do they transition to? What happens right. to these kids? I mean, it's not their fault. And, you know, they're still, like, they're still so young. They don't understand. Like, mm-hmm. I think about my asshole daughter
mm-hmm.
that's 21. And she's, you know, she still needs guidance. Like, right. you know, it's still, you never stop being a parent. And so these, it, my heart breaks for those kids.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's really sad. So, statistics show that many of these young boys between the ages of 13 to 19 years old have full-blown AIDS and has national and that has nationally doubled in the last 2 years.
Oh my God.
So I'll say it again since I can't. I got all tongue twisted. Many of these young boys between the ages of 13 to 19 years old have full-blown AIDS. That information has nationally doubled in the last 2 years.
That's insane.
Yeah. So it's estimated that there are 1 million kids in the U.S. that are hustling themselves for sex.
Oh, my God. And think about all these pedophiles that are out there, like, paying for them. You guys are fucking sick.
Right. In New York, these are just like, you know, facts that I found through this statistics. Article. Yeah. In New York City, mostly black and Hispanic kids are mainly the high sex trafficking kids.
The most sex trafficked.
Yeah, the most sex trafficked. In Miami and Fort Lauderdale, it's mainly white kids.
Really?
Yes. In L.A., under the Santa Monica Freeway, there are actually little cities of kids under the Santa Monica Freeway.
What?
Yes. Many of them claim that they have a girlfriend and or baby on the way. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, that was Vontrell. I wasn't passing gas. That was Vontrell snoring.
Vontrell.
So... there's a place called Covenant House, which is a homeless shelter for adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
So some of their statistics, they've said that there are between 10,000 and 20,000 adolescents on the street of New York City.
Oh my God. That's
12% amazing. Of older kids that go through Covenant House system are HIV positive.
Oh my God.
However, they believe that it's much higher since these are only the Covenant House stats.
Yeah, that those only ones that have gone to the house.
Yeah, Covenant House is also CH. So if you hear me referencing CH, that's the Covenant House.
Okay.
So CH refuses to hand out condoms because they promote abstinence, not safe sex.
Who fucking cares? Seriously, right. Like, I understand that you're trying to promote abstinence, but mm-hmm. clearly these kids, that's how they make a living.
Right.
I mean, you should not, don't be part of the problem. I don't understand people.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that just goes into, like, so many more things. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't agree with that because, I mean, I think that a lot of the mentality is... like, well, you're giving these kids permission to sell themselves or to have sex or, you know, which is, I mean, people are going to do what they want to do regardless. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So,
well, it goes into like the whole thing, like, you know, I mean, like with parents who don't want to put their kids on birth control. Well, I'm giving them permission to have sex. And right. No, you're protecting your child.
Right. Exactly.
From getting somebody. Well, like, I mean, if you have a son, there's not really much you can do.
Right.
They need to fix that shit. Because if I had a son.
I agree.
I would be like, you better not get fucking anybody pregnant. There's right. like nothing you can do if you have a boy.
Right.
But if you have a girl, you can put them on birth control.
Exactly.
Which I've done to my kids because I don't fucking trust them. And I was a teen mom and I fucking remember the stupid shit I did.
Right.
And I'm like, no, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. You're getting your ass on birth control. If even like my daughter that's over 18, she's on birth control.
Right.
Because I can't, I'm not dealing with that.
Right. Exactly. So, and I believe that, I didn't write this down, but in the article, CH, mm-hmm. AKA Covenant House, yeah. is, they believe like the Catholic belief, you know, that,
yeah.
that you should practice abstinence instead of safe sex.
Listen.
Which I think is so old.
I was going to say that's Old Testament. Like, yeah. we don't everybody's having sex.
Right, exactly. So, unfortunately, with that being said, CH is also known for giving LGBTQ kids a hard time.
Mm-mm.
Por ejemplo, like, that's me. LGBTQ homeless incoming kids will be placed with straight kids, which leads to them being high risk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
uh-huh. Because that leads many times to these LGBTQ kids to be re-victimized.
Yeah,
some absolutely. Get raped,
yep.
beat, mm-hmm. or severely harassed.
Oh, yeah. And why?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep my comments to myself okay. this time.
Oh, that's a first. We're going to have a drink. But this chick named Elizabeth Mastroni.
Uh-huh.
She's with CH. She's the AIDS educator.
Mm-hmm.
She said, virtually every kid I see here is a badly abused child.
Yeah.
So many of them were sold, seduced, or beaten by their parents or just flat out abandoned. For a lot of the kids, hustling is really a reenactment of what they grew up with.
Yeah.
Only now they've got the control. Instead of lying in bed helplessly waiting for the parent to come in, now they've got the power say, to yeah. say yes or no uh-huh. and get paid money to do the dirty deed.
Oh my God.
That was quotes. End quote.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah, it is really hard.
That's intense.
Actually, and because of that, you know, mm-hmm. because of the LGBTQ kids getting re-victimized and stuff like that, there was actually another homeless shelter that was open for homeless kids and particularly for the LGBTQ. And I got this information from HMI website, and it is hmi.org. So you can go on there and find mm-hmm. any information about, you know, about the services that they offer. If you'd like to donate or whatever, you can do that on their website.
And please go donate to them.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you know, we always say if you want to donate to the cause of talking shit, donate to our podcast. But please donate to something like that.
Exactly.
I mean, I would rather you guys spend your money on an organization like that to help these kids
mm-hmm.
than on us bitches.
Yeah, for real. So again, that website is hmi.org.
And even like anything helps. If you want to donate a dollar, do it. Because I mean, mm-hmm. if there's like 20 of you listening, that's $20. That could help
exactly.
a kid. If there's 50 of you guys listening, that's $50.
Yes.
I mean, please go donate to these the Covenant House and the other website you gave right now.
Yep.
I forgot it already.
Yeah, HMI.org.
HMI.org.
And that it actually stands for Hetrick-Martin Institute. And at the Hetrick-Martin Institute, we believe all young people, regardless of sexual orientation or identity, deserve a safe and supportive environment in which to achieve their full potential. Mm-hmm. And that's actually directly from their website.
Oh, wow.
So,
again. Go donate to them, please.
Yes.
Please go donate mm-hmm. to them.
Exactly. And so, HMI initiated a first step program in which they dispense condoms to homeless kids nightly. So they actually encourage these kids to please use condoms and
protection.
Practice safe sex yeah. instead of, you know,
trying to promote abstinence, which
right.
we know that that's how they make their living.
Yes, exactly.
So come on.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Be real with it.
Yeah, be stay real
woke.
With it.
Yeah. Stay woke. Stay woke, bitches. Stay woke. Stay woke. So, of course, this is just my opinion. Obviously, they can't prevent these kids from not having sex, but they can encourage safe sex. And I exactly. think that that's more important. You know what I
it
mean?
It is. It is more important. That's what I'm saying. Like, people don't, I don't know what planet they live on. I mean, like, obviously these kids, mm-hmm. they need to survive. And the only way they know how to survive is through, you know, being a sex worker.
Right.
And it's not, it, I mean, to other people, okay, listen. People talk down on sex workers, but yeah, here's the thing. Everybody's a fucking sex worker.
Absolutely.
If you're fucking married, I'm sorry, bitch, you're a fucking sex worker because you're fucking your husband mm-hmm. and he's giving you money.
Yeah.
You're fucking, you have little fuck trophies.
AKA DNA, AKA offspring, AKA yes, rat.
Your little fuck trophies. That's your fucking meal ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not. Maybe you're the breadwinner, but then your husband, he's a sex worker because you're supporting
him. Yeah. Got that live indie. Got that
live indie. We all have a fucking role. I'm sorry, but all of us.
Yeah.
No matter how you slice the cake, we're all fucking sex workers.
Know your place.
And so don't ever think you're better and you can talk shit about
right.
a sex worker because you are not any better. At all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Listen, queen. We all bleed the same color.
Preach it.
Mm-hmm. And nobody is better than anybody else.
And nobody.
Nobody. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Say it loud and proud, bitches. We're mm-hmm. all sex workers.
Yep. Hey, that's how it goes down.
Yep.
So, moving on. I woke up.
You woke up, so you woke up.
Yeah, so I woke up. So, however, unfortunately, when the young boys were asked if they use condoms, they'll say no. And they'll give one of three reasons. Number one, they don't need condoms.
Okay, that's not
number
true.
Number two, the Joe citizens don't like to use condoms.
Interesting.
Number three, condoms are used as a bargaining tool. Por ejemplo, Joe Citizen will pay an extra $5 to $10 more to go be a back and AKA have sex without a condom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know.
For those of you prudes that don't know what bareback is, it means you're not wearing a rubber.
Yep. So
I should know, I have four fucking kids.
There you go. We have an expert. She's an expert, y'all.
I have four fuck trophies.
So there was actually in the article, one of the boys, his name was Diego. He gave a little background story just to kind of give you like a glimpse. He was raised with both parents. The mom was a teacher, very nice lady, like practically a saint.
Oh, jeez.
The dad was a mailman. But the dad was so mean, he would bite dogs. What the freak?
Wait, he would bite?
Bite.
Like just a dog? Like a regular dog?
Yeah. Like freaking, I'm assuming like the family pets. I don't even know how you could do that. That's so freaking sick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what the freak? So,
What? I don't know why she was saying freak.
I know. I'm picking drugs. Jesus. No, just kidding.
Worst things off the podcast.
I'm trying to save you guys. So Diego said from as early as he could remember, he was the brunt of his dad's abuse. He would get beat for the slightest things, like sipping his milk. Then his dad would go.
His mom wasn't that much of a saint if she allowed this shit to go on.
Right, which is what I thought exactly. And then his dad would go and quote, lay down with him.
Oh, so he was like touching. He was molesting him.
He was molesting and
raping him.
Yeah, and physically abusing him. Yes. So it's extremely common for these young young boys to disappear without a trace for the simple fact that they don't have any family members looking for them or, mm-hmm. you know, interested in their finding well-being. Them, yeah. The CH, they work closely with the police, you mm-hmm. know, to, yeah. to identify the dead bodies of the God. Dead boys. Some of them might have been in the CH system prior to their death. So a lot of the times, you know, the police,
they can identify the boys because they've seen them in the house.
Yeah, they've seen them in the house. And then they do kind of like, I'm assuming that they do like an intake process. Yeah. So they have like a profile of all the kids. Yeah, I was going
to say they probably have to take a picture of them. Right. And then keep a mm-hmm. file of them, like you're saying.
Yeah. Exactly. But like everything else, there's good and bad in any situation. Occasionally, a sympathetic officer will try to identify these kids on the streets and notify CH to steer the kids back in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, there's the type of officers who believe that whoever is killing these kids are doing God's duty.
Oh, God. Which those is so motherfuckers. Sad. Mm-hmm. Look, I love cops. I think they're great. I mm-hmm. think they're, you know, they're like everyday heroes. Mm-hmm. But there are some cops that are not heroes and they're fucking assholes. Yeah. And they do not deserve that badge.
Right.
At all. Mm-hmm. They just don't.
Exactly. And this is like a really good article. So it's really long, but mm-hmm. I try to, you know, like yeah. pick out the most yeah. important pieces. Uh-huh. And, oops, crap. I don't know how I did that. Okay. So basically, this is a perfect recipe for murder.
Yeah.
Or a homicide.
Well, yeah.
You know, these kids work alone. Mm-hmm. They don't have any type of identification. And like 90% of the time, they're freaking high as a kite.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, they have to be.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have to be.
A lot of them get addicted.
Yeah.
If they're mm-hmm. not.
Yeah.
When they will. Start, they will.
They'll be. Yeah.
So a lot addicted. Of the times that's the outcome, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Who are these men that pay these young boys for sex, you ask? Most of the Joe citizens are married with children.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Supervisors, mm-hmm. Boy Scout leaders, and executives that have a lot of money.
Fucking losers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. You just don't know. You could be laying next to your husband. And he could be out right. there fucking some little boy.
Yes, exactly.
That's so sad.
Yeah, and I didn't write it down, but there was a comment that one of the boys had actually made in the article. And he said, like, a lot of the times when they open up their wallet, he sees family pictures of the wife God. And the kids. And that he's often asked himself, you know, like, if this person is out here paying for sex from me, what is he doing to his kids?
Yeah.
You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Yeah.
What are his kids going through?
His kids are his in danger.
Wife, yeah. I mean, whoever, you know.
Or other kids. Or other possibly kids, other kids.
His surrounding kids. Kids,
friends.
Neighbors, mm-hmm. family members, yes. right? So on this particular in this particular area, after 3 a.m., the going exchange rate is a bottle of crack for a blowjob. I mean, I won't.
We'll do it for free.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I won't, you know.
We're sex workers, except we don't get paid.
I mean, if you buy me tacos, I'll do it.
Listen, yeah. If you give me a bottle of wine, I mean, right. it doesn't take much. Just kidding, honey. I'm just kidding.
But all joking aside, that's pretty wild, right? That
is after crazy.
3 a.m.
That is.
A bottle of crack for a blowjob. So, not making fun of these victims.
No, we're please. Not making fun of the boys. Jesus, no.
Yeah. So, some may say that one of the side effects of smoking crack, but it is an aphrodisiac. Is that how you say
oh,
it?
Oh, is it? Yeah, aphrodisiac. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Which cause, well, I mean, it's not like,
no. Is it kind of like oysters?
Just kidding. I don't know.
I've never eaten oysters. I hear that's an aphrodisiac too. I would never eat oysters.
But they said that it hasn't been proven, but a lot of the times that's what people say that I guess are crack users, that it just, I don't know, what it
does. It just sets off your bells and whistles to fuck.
For real. I mean, I just might have that planet inside my brain.
I was going to say.
which causes, well, actually, which leads to a lot of unprotected sex.
Well, yeah, following, because then you're just wanting to fuck at that point. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, unprotected sex followed by more unprotected orgy sex and crack houses. And it's just like the more the merrier and everybody's just screwing everybody.
Andale. Mm-hmm.
And then, which leads me to my last thing here on the list, which, you know, unprotected sex, that'll eventually lead to some of these young men, basically, it leads to survival sex.
Yeah.
Which equals that these kids are having sex to support their crack addiction.
Mm-hmm. So, or their heroin addiction.
Or their heroin. Yeah.
Whatever addiction they have.
Correct.
Whatever addiction they have.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just to numb the pain.
Just to numb the pain. To numb
what they have to do. What they have to go through.
Right. And so that article had a lot of good like statistics.
That sounds like a really good article.
It's long and I took pictures of it. I just tried to like take out
The important parts. The meat of it.
Yeah, the meat of it. And so that article is again called Dead Boys, Fast Sex and Slow Suicide on the West Side Docks, article by Paul Soloteriff. Okay. And if you wanted to donate to that, the organization, it's HMI.org.
And we'll put that up on our website.
Yeah.
And our Facebook page and stuff like that. And our Instagram, our Twitter.
Yep.
All that stuff.
And I didn't want to leave you guys with like, I wanted to, you know, tie in because a lot of that article was based out of New York City.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, as some of you may know or don't know, it happens all over the world. But I wanted to, you know, just kind of shed light on the U.S. because it does happen in the U.S.
All the time.
And, you know, and it's not just New York back east or on the West Coast.
It's everywhere.
It's just everywhere. Even in Arizona.
The Midwest. Here.
Yeah.
The Midwest where you think nothing is fucking going on. Mm. It's happening there.
Yes. Which leads me to my next article also that I got this information from. This is actually based on an actual boy. His name is Samuel Marion. Okay, so this story took place in Toland, Connecticut.
Oh, shit.
Right? Yeah. So, in Toland, Connecticut, there is a sex trafficking ring that has preyed on troubled boys for more than 20 years.
Oh, shit.
Okay. This information, the article is called Case Reveals Shame Trauma of Male Sex Trafficking Victims by Dave Collins. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this sex trafficking ring was going on for 20 years. Samuel Marion, he was an unfortunate male sex trafficking victim that lost his life in the struggle.
Mm.
Okay. Sam, like many others, got sucked into sex trafficking by older men. Sam never told his family or police that he had been coerced into sexual relations with older men.
These fucking losers.
Sam actually wrote a letter that was later discovered 2 years after his death.
Oh, shit.
In the letter, Sam wrote he was angry, ashamed, and disgusted at how he was taken advantage of. Sam's mom said her son couldn't deal with the torture and the shame of being prostituted and also of being an addict. And when the police finally found out, they actually identified 15 victims in this particular Connecticut trafficking ring.
And I bet you there's way more.
That's what they said.
Just those are the ones that they could validate that were in the sex trafficking ring.
Which literally that was...
What they said.
Literally took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, authorities believe that there could be dozens more.
Oh,
that was just what they were able to identify, like you said.
Yeah.
the sex operation had began during the 1990s, which had been going on for like 20 years by the time
they found out. So like the 70s. It was like started in the 70s. Right. It was in the 90s
until like the current time.
Oh, into current time. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant like from the 90s.
No, back. This article was actually dated November 15, 2018.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm sure it was going on further than
It was just that particular
That's where they could probably get it, where they could start like, oh, yeah, this is where it began. Like, they could validate where it began.
Right. And it was that particular sex ring. Of course, there's probably others. Particular one, that's what they were. Mm-hmm. That's what they found. So, the police cracked the case because one of the victims reported to his state probation officer.
Oh, shit.
That he was being sex trafficked. Mm-mm. So at that time, the probation officer reported it to authorities in January of 2016.
Oh, my God. This was, like, not too long ago.
Yes. So just four years ago, literally.
Yeah.
So just to kind of give you an idea, you know, like, you may think, like, oh, you know, it doesn't go on here. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a lot of, I didn't see like documentaries because of course I love documentaries. They had it on sex trafficking, but it was mostly on the girls, the young girls, mm-hmm. which I'm not saying are not important or nothing like that. But it was, for some reason, I couldn't find much on sex trafficking.
And it just upsets me because like people always emphasize the women and the women or the girls that are being sex trafficked. And again, we're not saying that they don't matter.
Right.
But these males that are involved in these sex trafficking rings, they are made to feel like they don't matter.
Right.
I mean, because no one ever really talks about them.
Right.
Or promote, like, I don't want to say promote, but kind of like sticks up for them. No one is telling their story. Nobody is like
advocating
for them. I can't think tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's so sad because they're made to feel like they don't matter, and they absolutely do matter.
Yeah. And the one documentary, and it was only like 15 minutes, no lie, mm-hmm. That I could bring up on male sex trafficking. It was actually, this is a thing, a story called Children of the Night, uh-huh. Young Male Prostitution. This is actually on Channel 4 in Recife, Brazil.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't find anything in the United States.
I found some stuff.
Like videos and stuff.
Yeah, I found some stuff.
And you sent them to me, but I didn't look them up.
Yeah.
So, but what I could find, this came up. This is like one of the first ones that came up.
Yeah.
They were kids from Brazil. Mm-hmm. Where street children sell sex to survive. So five reyes, I think is how you say, equals like $1.50.
Okay.
I don't know how. But in Brazil, I guess they count their money as reyes, R-E-A-I-S. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Anyways, it's basically the going rate for sex with a child in Recife, Brazil.
How much is it?
$1.50.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cocaine sells for $3 per rock.
So cocaine is more expensive than child prostitute.
Right.
Male prostitute.
And then usually these male kids are anywhere from 10 to 14 years old is the average age of a child sex slave in Brazil. The typical scene is you'll see these young boys, young kids, inhaling fumes of blow, which is, they call it cola, mm-hmm. out of water bottles or Coke bottles to numb the pain of the feelings of them selling themselves for sex.
Oh my God.
And, these children, they usually sell themselves for necessities, drugs, and basically just to survive. And so, like, it wasn't that long of a video. Yeah, it was, like, 13 minutes. But, you know, they had little girls on there also telling their story. They said that the World Cup Is that
what the World Cup? It's the like, soccer.
The soccer thing. Soccer.
It's like the NFL of like it's like the Super Bowl of soccer.
Okay.
The World Cup is like the Super Bowl of soccer.
Yeah. So the World Cup, which is also known here with sex trafficking, anytime there's a major event.
That's what you were telling
like
me.
Like the Super Bowls, concerts. Yeah, for them, it was the World Cup. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were scared because they knew with that brings a lot of tourism, which means that they were going to be working overtime, but they were literally going to be like basically drugged out the whole time. And it's so sad. Like you, they have like, they don't even have like mattresses or nothing. I mean, they're literally just laying on the, like a, on the floor with like literally rags on. And, they're just inhaling from a water bottle or a Coke bottle and it's empty. And the drug itself looks like honey. It's like a real thick, like honey.
Yeah.
And they just pour it into the bottle and you just inhale it and they're literally like just like fall over. Oh, it's shit. Almost like they're like shooting heroin, yeah. But they're inhaling it.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's basically what I dug up on all that information. But yeah, that was pretty sad. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't like a story about anybody particular.
But well, no, but I mean, just it's a story to, and yeah. it's a good story. Mm-hmm. It needs to be heard,
mm-hmm.
you know,
for sure.
Male sex trafficking victims matter too.
Mm-hmm.
All sex trafficking victims matter. They all matter. It doesn't matter if they're male, female,
yeah,
or what, transgender, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. They all matter.
That was another, In that first article from that Paul, it said a lot of the times the transvestites that they, the Joe citizens that are paying them, you know, they'll kick them in the private area. And, you know, while these kids like fall to the floor in pain, they're like, they'll tell them like, oh, I just wanted to see if you really had balls or not. I wanted to see if you were a guy. Like, what the hell? And then, you know, they're just freaking laying on the floor with pain. And then, of course, these Joe citizens are beating them up while they're down, you know, because they don't want to pay for the sex.
Yeah. Or
whatever.
They're like, know? They're in denial of their own sexuality. Right, and they're like blaming it on these poor mm-hmm. children that need to survive.
Right. Exactly.
And don't have any guidance and don't have anybody that they feel like they're not loved or they're not wanted. And that's awful. Exactly. That's so awful. And I want to cry.
It's sad. Yeah.
So sad.
It's sad. It's frustrating and it's sick because, I think in the article it was saying something like it's like sadism.
Sadism.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. Sadism. And it's like, yeah, like these people are going out looking for these kids. I mean, you know, it's sad. A lot of the times, one of the boys on the article, he was saying that, you know, they always pull a lot of dead bodies out of the river or the ocean right there or whatever, you know what I mean? Because, you know, people just, yeah, I mean, they're like these throwaways and that's awful. Like it's,
They treat them like they're throwaways, but they're not throwaways.
They're not.
That pisses me off.
That's so sad. But, you know, I don't... It's crazy. But, yeah, even in the articles and, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've seen on documentaries, like just of sex trafficking in general, they get these troubled kids. They zero in on these young, troubled kids mm-hmm. that...
You it's know, like they're like sharks much. In water. They know exactly. who to go after. They know
they're
who to
predators.
Target.
Yeah,
they
are predators. Absolutely, that's exactly what they are. They're a predator.
I did a paper when I was in college, fucking 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was about child sex trafficking, just mm-hmm. child sex trafficking in general.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing. Like there was all these statistics outside of the U.S. But mm-hmm. I was like, if it's happening outside of the U.S., it has to be happening here.
Yeah.
So then I started digging up articles, and I found a couple local cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's freaking awful.
Mm-hmm.
I got an A+. On that paper
mm-hmm.
and then my professor took it to some I guess her church has like this meeting thing mm-hmm. and she asked if she could take it with her because she wanted to talk to them about the child sex trafficking. And I was like, yeah. She's like, I've never heard about this before. And I'm like,
oh my God, what?
And that was like in 2009.
Oh no.
So this has been going on for years.
Oh, absolutely.
Years and years. And it's just like now coming into light, like what's been going on.
Right.
And it's been going on since way before then too.
Yeah.
It's just.
It's nobody brings light to it. Like I said, when I was trying to research about it, I seen a lot of documentaries on YouTube, but again, they weren't involving males.
Yeah,
it was just women, but or girls, not really women. They're women now telling their survival stories, but back then they were young little girls. And I mean, that's the name of the game. You go after somebody that's, vulnerable, gullible,
naive.
They don't even know that it's going on. This girl, in one of the documentaries, it was her next door neighbor.
Yeah.
It was her friend's older sister's boyfriend. And he just told her, this is what you need to do. And so she did it. She was like 8. And she did it, she said, for 10 years.
Oh my God.
Yes. For 10 years. But again, I couldn't find anything of males in the U.S. And I wanted to get something here, just to kind of shed light to, it's out there. It's sad, and
a lot of males don't come forward because
they don't come
they're male
forward.
Mm-hmm. And they're made to feel less than, or like they're not a man,
right?
Or they're not male enough or whatever, like it shouldn't be happening to them, and if it does, then they're allowing it to happen. They start victim blaming them.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, men go through all the emotions and rejection and thoughts of worthlessness and whatever, just like girls do.
Oh yeah,
I mean, especially
anybody
if they've been victims.
Yeah,
anybody that's been a victim of sexual abuse, they always always have, like, they're not adequate enough. They're not. They don't matter. Nobody cares, and it's so awful. It's just awful, and the people that look for these men or these little boys, not even men, they're not men, they're little boys, all these men that go out looking for little boys, it's sick, and you really need to get some kind of fucking help, dude, seriously.
Yeah. So,
and it's not just men either that go after them.
Oh,
women go after them too.
Yes.
So we're not just
singling
out men. It's
maybe
women.
That would be a good next one about like female predators or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, that she's a female,
Yes. And a lot of females, like, they're looked at as being motherly, like the motherly type.
The nurturing,
the motherly, it's like, and that's their facade, but they use it for their own advantage, like to take advantage of other people, like younger boys and even younger girls, like
So anyways, that's it for tonight, guys. I think we're done.
Thank you so much. On all our social media accounts. Facebook, we have a Facebook page, it's called the Miranda Writes podcast. For Instagram, it's themirandawrites_19. For Twitter, it is @ HE MIRNDA R GHTS. And our website, our new and improved website, is
themirandawrites20.wixsite.com.
And please email us any case suggestions, or if you want to donate to the cause of talking shit, or if you want to go donate to
HMI.org or Covenant House.
We will have all that stuff on our website and our social media accounts. Please donate to them. If you do not want to donate to us, that's fine, but please donate to them.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yep, that's it. Have a nice weekend, y'all.
All right, then.
Bye.
See you later. Bye.
I'm Dan.
I'm Elaine.
And we host the Sublime True Crime Podcast, with a new episode every Sunday. We're possibly the only podcast where one of the co-hosts can't pronounce the name of their own show.
Oh, but you do try.
Yes, I wonder who that could be.
We concentrate on UK crimes of all kinds. Murder, rape, serial killers. We've even covered the world's largest mugging recently. Although my favourite is still the Hatton Garden heist.
That was a really good episode. I really enjoyed that one. All of the crimes we cover are solved cases, barring the first episode where, in fairness, we were finding our feet.
Is that the one where you didn't realise it was unsolved until you'd written most of the episode and then didn't want to waste it?
Maybe.
We are currently completely ad-free, and we've just finished our first season. We'd love for you to come and listen to us.
Just search for Sublime True Crime on any good podcast provider, click subscribe, and listen to the back catalogue of 15 existing episodes.
We hope you'll join us soon. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.